So this morning we're going to continue on our conversation that we started on Wednesday night. How many of you were here Wednesday night? All right. Well, we're going to continue on our conversation a little bit. We're talking about identification in Christ and who we are in Christ. And this is something that once people get a hold of and they start realizing who they are in Christ, it will completely change their life and actually change their whole entire world. I mean, this is not something that's taken lightly because God created me and you to be awesome. And that went over like a ton of bricks. I said, God created me and you to be awesome. Amen. You know, he blesses us. He created ways that we could walk victoriously. We sang about it this morning. We shouted about it this morning. You know, we serve a big, big God. You know, and he set ways for us so that we can be successful in life. And one of these ways that we become successful in life, like what we're talking about here, is knowing who we are. You know? And we all identify ourselves, like my name is Steve, I'm originally from Newfoundland, and lived there in Thunder Bay for the last 14 years. And, my beautiful wife is Kendra. We just celebrated 16 years of marriage this past Friday. I can't believe she stuck around that long, praise God. You know, I'm a daddy of four beautiful children, plus I got two fur babies as well, which I dearly love most of the time, you know. And, you know, I'm Craig and Glenda's oldest son, their favorite. And, you know, and that's kind of a little bit of who I am, right? But now that's just kind of surface level. Because when you start peeling back the layers and actually seeing who I really am, you'll actually find out that I'm a child of the King. I belong to Jesus. And my identification, even though I don't always feel like it, is that I am triumphant, I'm a winner, I am victorious, I'm healed, healthy, and whole and blessed. That's who I am. That's what the Word of God declares over my life, so therefore I need to declare it over my life. And so on Wednesday night, you know, real quick, we just kind of talked about how we don't give in to what the majority believes all the time, because sometimes it takes the minority to stand up and what's right. And we talked about how Caleb and the guys, they went in, the 12 spies went into the land, and they went and spied out, and you know, 10 came back with a negative report. It's horrible in there. Yeah, there's lots of nice things, but there's giants, you know. There's going to be big opposition. We're not able to do it. And two guys came back and like, let's do it, you know. We can get it. We can do it, you know. The Lord is with us. But the 10 were like, you crazy. But the two, and that's the two guys I like. You need a couple crazy friends. Amen. In all truth, the scriptures, you see guys who got a couple crazy friends. I got three crazy friends right here in the front, right here. These three ladies here. You know, we're going back to Bible school again. Oh, no. Hey? I can't get away from these girls. In my class in Bible school, they sit in the front, preaching Sunday morning, they're here in the front, just giggling away, big smiles. Oh, Lord, help me. All right. But see, we were told not to be like, and we see what happened was that these guys believed that they could overcome. And then we also talked about, you know, we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us as well. God don't see you as down and depressed and sad and broken all the time. That's not how God created you, right? God created you to be victorious. And he sees you as his prized possession, as triumphant, as a winner. Now, the world around you and social media and all those things, they'll give you a very different view of what they think you should be, right? If you're not diagnosed with some disorder, there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry. I mean, everyone is like, it's popular now to have an issue. You know? If you're not on medication for something, what's wrong with you? Well, nothing. You know? But that's just the way it is. It's the world's pressure, and you just turn it on. It's absolutely crazy. And you think I'm joking, but pay attention to what's going on around you. Because that's facts. They're trying to diagnose everything these days. You got a hangnail. Oh, you better go on medication for that. Your fingernails are falling off. You know? There's too much coffee. What? You know? All these crazy things. Actually, I do have a hangnail. I think the Lord's saying something here. Forget what I just said. I better get some medication. No, I'm joking. All right. So we need to have a healthier picture of yourself. And, well, self-image is always a big deal. We talked about that on Wednesday night a little bit. Not everyone always has a good self-image about themselves. It's something I struggled with for a while, you know. But when you start changing your mindset a little bit and be like, you know what? I know what the Word of God says. You know, you get up in the morning, look in the mirror, you handsome devil, you know. And you start confessing good things over your life, and you start doing things, and you start changing habits, and you start doing stuff, you know. There's things that you can do to help improve that, right? All right, let's keep going. So we talked about that, have a healthier picture of yourself. It determines where you go. If you're always down and negative all the time, you're not going to get very far. How many of you like to be around negative people? Anybody in here like to be around negative people?
I love it.
Oh, no. No, I'm not a fan of being around negative people, and I'm sure we all know somebody negative in our life, that every word, everything they talk about is, that's stupid, I hate this, my life sucks, you know, just always complaining about something. And let's be honest, after a few minutes of that, you're like, bro, I'm checking out right now. Like, I don't want no part of that. You need to change what you're saying. So if you're going to be positive, you know, that's going to lead to a much better place where you're going to end up. All right, keep going. Now, Pastor showed me this awesome scripture verse after Wednesday night, and I want to share it with you all this morning. So we talked about the people that you hang out with and your self-image and all those things. They kind of guide and direct the way that you go, where you'll end up. And this scripture verse here, found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, is where we're going to start today. In the New Living Translation. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools, get in trouble. Right? I want to be around some wise people. You know, I want to associate with people that know more than what I know so I can learn from them. You know? You don't ever want to be the smartest person in the room. You know? And I like being around wise people. Because wise people, there comes experience, there comes knowledge, there comes wisdom. And you can glean from that and you can learn from that because a lot of these people, they've been there and done that and got the t-shirt, you know. Now it says associate with fools and get in trouble. Well, there's people that think they know what they're talking about and they have no clue. Or they do foolish things. Well, that's going to greatly affect you as well. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God created me and you, like I'm going to say it again, to be awesome. But we cut ourselves down quite often based on our association with different people, different places, different things. Right? And so therefore, we have to be mindful of that. Be with the right people in the right place at the right time. You know? Elijah and Elisha is a very good example of that. Now you listen to me. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives with you, yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. Now, if you know the story about Elijah and Elisha, we see that Elisha was hanging out with his mentor. And because he would not leave him, and because he stayed next to him, and because he wanted what he had, he ended up with a double portion of the anointing that he had. Right? You know? So that's why when you're hanging out around church and stuff, and you're hanging around the man of God or the woman of God, you know, that's not wasted time. That's investment time. That's hanging out with wise people, not fools. And that's where there's going to be blessing and increase in your life when you're hanging out with people that, you know, they know what they're talking about. They have life experience, you know? They hear from the Lord. Some of you might be wondering, well, why is my life falling apart? Because you have nobody in your life that's speaking in their positive, that's being a positive influence. You've created yourself to be an island all by yourself and trying to go through life. Let me tell you something. An island can be a very lonely place. You know? It can be a really dark place sometimes. But when you're connected up, you see, human beings were never created to be separated and apart and all onto their own. We proved that, you know, for 2 or 3 years when we were all separated, and we're still seeing the after effects of what took place. People were greatly, greatly affected because they were separated. They couldn't communicate. They couldn't connect. They couldn't be together. There's something about physical connection that's super important to human beings. They were never created to be apart. So when we're connected together with the right type of people, we're going to flourish, we're going to grow, we're going to enhance, we're going to grow. And when you come to church and you get that, you get an idea of who you are in Christ because you're around like-minded people. As Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. There should be some sharp people around here. Amen? Do I have any sharp people in the room this morning? Yeah, some sharp-looking folks here, that's for sure. You know? Another interesting fact about our identification, and in here in a few minutes, we're going to get into some Scripture. I'm going to give you a whole lot of Scripture showing who the Bible says we are. But just a few more quick points. You need to know your abilities, and you need to know your strengths and your weaknesses. You know, there's certain things that I know I cannot do. And there's certain things I know that I can do, right? I'm sure we're all in here like that. And that's something that's very important in our lives, and know our identification and who we are in Christ, is know what you can and cannot do. There has to be humility, balance in your life. Everyone say balance. You know, balance is super important to the believer's life because you can go on one side of the ditch or the other on anything, and you have to be careful on what you're doing, where you're walking, you know? And so you have to be familiar with your strengths and your weaknesses. And a weakness is not necessarily a bad thing because you can't do everything. Burnout happens if you take on too much. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anyone ever experienced burnout? Yeah, feel tired, weary? Yeah, it's not a good feeling, you know? You just don't have the strength, and you lose your passion and your zeal for what you were doing or for life, and it's just a bad place to be in. Burnout is dangerous, but knowing your boundaries, knowing what you can do, what you can't do. Now, I'm not saying don't try anything new. I'm always up to try something once, you know? I'm like that, you know? I'll try something. It might be crazy, but I'll try it, you know? Nothing stupid now, ladies and gentlemen, all right? I'll try if. Hey, Steve, have you ever done this before? No, but let's try it. Working here at this church for 14 years, there's been a lot of, hey, Steve, you ever done this before? Nope. I'll try it, though. I'm willing to do something. When you have a big building like this and when you're doing stuff, and, you know, I work with my dad sometimes, too, and he's got a business and is super, super busy, and we're working on big engines and generators and stuff, and a lot of these things, you know, I'm mechanically inclined, but a lot of this stuff is kind of new, you know, so I'm trying to learn the different things, and but I'm willing to learn, right? I'm willing to take on these tasks and do stuff, and then you realize, hey, I can do this. You know, I have that ability. And you don't realize it until you try it sometimes, you know? And so we were all created to do something. In the body of Christ, you were not created just to sit there and do nothing, to be a bench warmer. We were all given a task, a job, an assignment to do in church in the body of Christ. You know, we are the church of God, right? The whole body, not the building, the church, the people. Scripture tells us that each and every one of us have been given, you know, special gifts and abilities and talents to do. You look at a big engine, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of moving parts in there, and you take it one of those parts, and it's not going to run properly, you know? I mean, we've experienced that a few times. Hey, Papa, when there's been a certain electrical thing, and this, I mean, it shuts down this massive engine, and we can't get it started because there's one little tiny part. And you got this thing that weighs like 30,000 pounds, and you got something that's like as big as your thumb, and it's stopping that equipment from being successful in what it's supposed to do. It's the same thing when it comes to the body of Christ, that when we don't know what we're supposed to be doing, if we don't know who we are actually hindering the body of Christ moving forward, creating an impact and growing, reaching more and more people when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. You see, we have a big responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to the people around us. Let's face it, you know, the world's in a dark spot. Thunder Bay has got a lot of issues. We don't need to go overseas to the mission field. Our mission field is just right outside this door. You listening to me? Now, I'm not against overseas missions, big heart for that, you know, but there's some people that are called to that, and there's some people called to be here. And right now, you know, I don't see too many of us right now packing our bags, getting ready to go to Africa or somewhere like that to go overseas. But yet we're getting ready to leave in a few minutes here to go out into our mission field. Churches should be bursting at the seams. Churches should be having 2 and 3 services here on a Sunday morning because people are coming to the Lord. You know, we recently watched that movie, Jesus Revolution. That was a very good movie. Have anybody else seen? Jesus Revolution, right? Is what it's called. How many of you have seen that about the Jesus freaks? You know, the Jesus movement. That's what they call the Jesus freaks. And I really like that movie because some of my instructors at Rhema that we had, you know, they were actually part of that movement and they became born again because of that. You know, I got trained under some of these guys. You know, I'm connected to that. And you are connected to that because you're here this morning. You know? That's so crazy working in the kingdom of God is that something happened way, way back then. It's still affecting people today. You can clap about it. Clap. Go ahead. That's good. Because somebody got a hold of Jesus Christ. They knew who they were and what they were supposed to be doing. Face of the earth was changed, man. And I believe right now Thunder Bay is on the cusp of something big. Oh, yeah. But it's going to take a bunch of people that's in this room, like you, that's got a heart to see a change, that know who they are in Christ, that they're not going to be down and out, that they're not going to be upset, that they're not stressing out about everything all the time. I'm not saying you're not going to have issues, because listen, we live on an earth with a curse, okay? I'm going freestyle, girls. I'm sorry, I'm not even at my notes, all right? I apologize. I only got like 45 pages to go through. But, you know, hey, this city needs Jesus. This place, Northwest Ontario, needs Jesus. I meet people every week, different people, and man, I hear some crazy stories. I get to minister to people on a one-on-one basis outside of the church. Most of what I do as a minister is not done inside the church, it's done outside, talking to people, getting to know people, building relationships with people. You know? There's a lot of hurting people in this world. We have a responsibility to know who we are so we can help influence those people out there. Can I get an amen? Amen. Geez, Steve, you're preaching good this morning. Thank you, Steve. All right. I'm sure we've all heard this phrase, if you want to fly with eagles, quit hanging out with turkeys. My wife used to call me a turkey all the time. You know? Hey, hon, remember when we first, you turkey? It took me a while to catch on. Now I might be up to falcon. I'm not an eagle yet, am I? Am I an eagle yet? Canada goose? A seagull. There we go. More of a seagull. I like that, Monique. An old saddleback, one with the black wings. That's me. If you want to fly with seagulls, go hang out at McDonald's parking lot. Looks like I've been there a little bit too much. I better start flying with the eagles, you know? But it's true. If you want to fly with eagles or seagulls, no, eagles. You got to quit hanging out with turkeys. I love that saying so much. The people that you're hanging out with. Now, in the Bible, in Scripture, we see what happened when people actually changed their association. Or when they quit, or when there was a massive change. For instance, Saul, Paul, right? Here he was, and he was going around, and he was persecuting Christians, and he was one of the religious guys. I mean, high standard, high, you know, position. Religious person back in that day, and the Christians, he tore up Christianity a lot in a negative way right in the early beginning. He done a lot of damage to a lot of people. People were imprisoned, people were beaten, I mean, probably even killed. There was just some nasty stuff done. But on that road to Damascus, something drastic changed in Saul's life. Jesus showed up and said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, Saul thought what he was doing was what God wanted him to do. He was protecting the religious ways. But it was wrong. Because God is love. Right? And because of that, Jesus showed up to him and was like, listen, buddy, you better smarten up. I'm giving you Steve's 2023 translation, all right? It's like, Saul, no, this ain't right. You're this is not the way it's supposed to be. You're not doing it. But instead, you're going to change the world, and this is how you're going to do it. Now, Paul got blinded for a little bit, a few days. Ends up hanging out with a guy by the name of Ananias. And then he sat there in Ananias' backyard, hanging out, blind as a bat, couldn't see nothing. And then his eyes opened. And the moment his eyes opened, he went out and he started preaching the gospel. Talking about what the Lord had downloaded to him, you know? And what the Lord had revealed to him. And talked about that. And, you know, Paul ended up changing the entire face of the earth. You know, he wrote a lot of the New Testament, you know? And, I mean, some of the greatest writings in Scripture came from Paul, who was Saul, who was a persecutor of Christians, you know? But that's a major change right there. Because he no longer was the old way. He quit hanging out with turkeys, and he was flying with eagles, right? And when I get to heaven, I can't wait to go talk to him because I got lots of questions I got for Paul about some certain things. For instance, why the heck he was such a bad sailor? Because he was shipwrecked, what, 3 times? You know? Why such hard luck with boats, buddy? You know? But then I also want to sit down and talk to him about some of his journeys. I want to know about, you know, how it went. And I want to know about, you know, the things that he saw. I want to see those things when we get to heaven. There's kind of a side note there, but that's kind of exciting, you know? When we get to heaven, we get to talk to some of these guys. But your environment greatly impacts your life and your outcome. I'm a firm believer in that. Now, Paul also exhorted or talked to the church at Rome a little bit. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, just look at this. And here we see the change that took place in Paul. Because of this change, now he's writing to all these churches. And here's what it says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, once you get a, you know, inside of this thing here, this 6 inches of space between your ears always gives us trouble. You know, that little ball of mush in there, it always gets us in trouble. Because we try to reason things out and figure things out on our own. But let me tell you something. When we don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, what? Transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. When we change the way we think, come on now, that's going to change a lot of things in your life. Because when you stop thinking, when you quit thinking negative and start getting over in the positive side of things, oh boy, it's going to be better. You know? It might take a little while for things to actually physically change, but it's happening. You might not always see it. You know? The Lord does things, and we don't always see how the Lord works. It always doesn't happen the way that we expect it to happen. You know? And I'm thankful for that. But it works. That's right, Ed. You're a beautiful human being. You know? I love Ed. Don't you love Ed? He's a good, great guy. But we take those negative things, change it around, by a renewing of our mind. But how do we renew our mind, ladies and gentlemen? Bible school students, how do we renew our mind? By the Word of God. That's right. We get in there and we study it, you know? We spend a lot of time in the Word. We read the Word. We talk about the Word. We sleep on the Word. We write about the Word, you know? We talk about the Word. We live the Word. Because it's crazy, because if you talk about something enough and you start believing it, you know, it starts coming to pass. It starts happening in your life. Come on now. How many blessed people do I have in here this morning? Are you sure about that? Do you believe it? Woo-wee. Give the Lord a big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Like I told on Wednesday night, my little boy, Timmy, he is determined that he's going to be a millionaire. Miss Kathy, after service, he was in services and kids. Miss Kathy went to him after service and asked him, "Hey, Timmy, heard you're going to be rich." He goes, "Uh-huh." She goes, "I heard that you're going to have like $7 million. Uh-huh. Yep, I'm rich." You know? And there's not a doubt in my mind that that little boy is going to be a millionaire. He's got the mindset. He's got the drive. He believes it. You know? I believe the Lord is going to bless him. Amen? I believe the Lord is going to bless all my children. Every one of them is going to be prosperous. Why? Because the Word of God says so. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the same Word of God, the Bible, you know, we believe for our children. I believe it for you too. But you got to believe it for yourself.
Amen.
Come on, the Word of God says you're blessed, then you're? If it says you're healed, then you're? If it says you're prosperous? If it says you're good looking? Lord help us. That's right. I'm going to wake you all up before the day is over. I guarantee it. Amen. All right. Hey, you're good looking. What you got cooking? How about cooking something with me? Yeah, we got to stop singing, there's a whole lot of people going home. We got to sing, hello, good looking. What you got cooking? That's a more happy song. All right. So we're not going to copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but we're going to allow God to transform us. Amen? Now, God has a whole bunch of things in store for me and you, and we've only barely scratched the surface. I mean, there's so much stuff in store for me and you. Oh, my life is pretty good. Well, I bet you it can get better. I know it can get better. I like this because when you know who you are in Christ, you realize that He's your Heavenly Father. And I know my dad raising us, my parents, they loved us very greatly much, and they still do. Like I said, I'm their favorite. And so I like teasing them like that. If my grandmother was still here, I used to get her, and I knew I was her favorite. She's gone to heaven already, but I knew I was her favorite. But I mean, they loved us, and they made sure we had rights in that house. Actually, I still go to my parents' place now, and I don't even ask. I just go into the cupboard or the fridge. It's mom and dad, right? I go in, I get a glass of milk if I want a glass of milk, or if I want a T-bone steak, I'll get a T-bone steak, you know? But I have those rights and privileges. Now, some stranger off the road just can't come on in and actually, maybe in mom's house, maybe she might. They have a great gift of hospitality, I guarantee it. But typically, okay, for instructional purposes, some guy off the street is just not going to walk into their house and go on in there and grab something out of the cookie jar. You know, you're not going into the fridge. You're not going to do that. They don't have that right, you know. My children, you know, they can walk into my house and they can grab what they want. You know, they're like, but there's other kids in the street. They better not come in that house. They're crazy. You know, I don't want them walking in. You know, they don't have that right. Well, it's the same thing with us. So we get to come before the Heavenly Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because whatever He has, the Bible tells us, we have also.
Amen.
It belongs to me and you. We are co-heirs with Christ. That's a part of our identification. Yes, I am Craig and Glenda's oldest son, their favorite child. You know, I get to go into their house, and I get to go in and enjoy the fruit that's in there. And my children are the same way. They get to go in, and they get to enjoy what I have. So how much more, and that's an earthly demonstration there, but how much more does our Heavenly Father have for me and you? He has healing for me and you, divine health for me and you, spiritual blessings. The Bible tells us that every spiritual blessing belongs to me and you. Not some, not one, not two, all of it belongs to me and you. Isn't that good to know? Man, thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you. That brings us to this point. Because of we have all this that belongs to us, there's a little term that we use around here, and Mark Hankins kind of coined this term, that we're in Christed. What does that mean? That we are connected to Christ. We're grafted together. Science, modern science can do some pretty crazy things. And I've talked about this before, and I'll talk about it again real quick. But I actually recently seen a thing about this. They've actually taken two fruit plants, and they grafted them together, and that it actually grew, and this plant produced two types of fruit. on the same. It's connected together. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to us with Christ. Once we become born again and connected to him, we become engrafted in Christ. So therefore, whatever Christ has, we have also. We are connected up. So all the fruit that he has, we have also. Bunch of fruity tooties in here. Amen. Isn't that good? We are in Christed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We've seen the scripture verse before, and we're going to look at it again. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your identification in Christ is that you're a new creature. You're a species never seen before. Come on, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. The devil can't stand it. But you are triumphant. You're a new creature. See, once we don't conform to the things of this world, we change our mindset and our thinking on stuff. Come on, we got to see ourselves in a new light. I'm going to talk about Candace for a little bit just because I can, and she's here. But Candace is one of the most radical changes I've witnessed in my ministry life. Right? I mean, if you knew where Candace was and where she is now, it's a complete 180-degree turnaround. I mean, it's amazing to see. And the Lord is still doing things in her life. Still, she is like on fire for God. She's inviting people, talking to people, sharing the good news, encouraging people. Going through Bible school first year, you know, talking about going to second year, oh, Lord help me. And I mean, she is just rocking it out. That's what happens when your identification, when your DNA becomes that of Jesus Christ, there's a drastic change that takes place. And she's a living, walking testimony. Isn't that good? Woo-wee! Give her a big round of applause. That's good. That's me. Maybe I need to go back and talk about humility a little bit here for a little bit. Oh. I love Candace. She's so awesome. She's like one of our favorite students ever. It's just fun to have her in class. But because she has such a zest and zeal for the things of the Lord, man, I think that's what makes her. If you don't know Candace, you need to get to know Candace. She'll put a big smile on your face because she's so full of love and joy. Amen? You can give me $5 later, Candy. Oh, boy. That's good. That's good. We are in Christ. People struggle with their identification in Christ because they haven't got into the Word. Many Christians have gone through, different things trying to find out who they are. Even Christians have struggled with this. But here's the big secret. Get in the Word. All right? Well, what do you mean get in the Word? All right, here we go. Get your papers ready. Get your papers ready. Here's some. Get your pens all fired up. Corinthians 5:17 and verse 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that what? We might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, that shows that I'm a new person in Christ. I'm not who I used to be anymore, praise Jesus. You know, my life has changed. Now, yes, I grew up in church, and I had very great Christian parents, but I continue to learn and grow, and I always wasn't the most sanctified person. You know? Anybody in here can testify to that? You weren't always the most sanctified person? Anybody? Yeah. I know. Yeah. Some of y'all still working on your testimony in here? Anybody? Yeah, yeah, that's right. We've never fully reached it yet. When we get to heaven, we still got to go and learn stuff, amen? But see, the thing is here, I am a new person. That scripture verse there in Corinthians, show us. Micah 3:8. Turn over there. Micah 3:8. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel sin, or his sin. We are full of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, look at that one. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I have the Spirit on the inside of me. Why about you? That's a part of who I am. I have the Holy Spirit on the inside. All right, so first, I'm a new person. Second, I'm full of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am in right standing. I am the place where I am supposed to be. When you're in right standing with somebody, that's not means you guys are on the outs. That means that you guys are in the perfect place where you're supposed to be. Your relationship is tight. You're reaping the benefits of that relationship. The righteousness of God in Christ, that's who you are. Scripture goes on and tells us that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do on our own strength that's good. But see, when we do it with the Spirit, with God on the inside of us, come on, now that changes everything around, honey. That changes it, everything for me and you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are blessed. That's who you are. Woo-wee. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. Therefore, the world knew us not, because it knew him not. We are what? A child of God. Point to yourself and say, I'm a child of God. And with being a child of God, you receive all the benefits and the blessings and the rights and the privileges that belongs with that. Like I said, I can go into my parents' house and get into that fridge. That's one benefit, you know, praise Jesus. But we get all the benefits that God has for me and you. We got the best benefit package known to man. I know some of you at work, you enjoy your benefits package, right? You got the dental and the eye stuff and the medication stuff because you got a hangnail, so you got to, you know, you're on medication for that, whatever. You got all types of stuff going on. It's good to have benefits, vacation pay and relaxation pay and, you know, McDonald's pay and Tim Hortons pay. It's all these benefits. There's so many benefits now, different companies. It's crazy, you know. But we have the best benefits package. We got the Jesus benefits package. Amen. All right. 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. What does it say? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to his glory and virtue. Basically, what that's saying right there is that I'm totally blessed with everything I need. I got it. We sing a song. I remember we used to sing it in church, and I hear that rhyme every now and then. It's, I got it. I got it. You right? I got it. And the place goes nuts because I got it. Amen. It all belongs to me. I got it. Well, what do you got? It. Everything. Got it all. You got it? You got it? Who's got those spiritual blessings? Who's got that blessing from the Lord? Every spiritual blessing. Who's got it? Who got it? Who got it? Woo! Well, shout about it. Something about the Holy Ghost. God, I got it in my hands. I got it in my feet. I got it in my... All right, here we go. Woo! We're going to have a little praise break here now in a minute. I can feel it coming. Here we go, another one. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. As thy soul prospereth, I am prosperously healthy and whole. That's who I am. I got good health. My body's whole. I'm healed. I'm prospering. Things are happening. I ain't broke. I got more than enough. All right, another one. Another one. Philippians 4:13. We know this one, but this is, hey, guys, this is our identification. I'm painting a picture here. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord's got you, man. All right, here's another good one. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. We're overcomer in life. Don't go getting caught up on the things in life that are trying to hold you down. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. The devil's going to try and blow things up and make it look a lot bigger than what it really is. God is still on the throne. There's nothing that's happened, and he's gone like the Home Alone face. Okay? Oh, no! What am I going to do? Gabriel hasn't had to come over and pick him up and put him back on the throne. Like, God, you okay? You know, he didn't fall off. God is still on the throne. And I think I've already showed a few scriptures there to showing you that God is mightier. Amen. God is stronger. Right? Come on. Who's an overcomer? I got it. Colossians 1:13. I'm just going to give you a couple more. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I am delivered from the darkness. I am delivered from all that ugly stuff. I'm no longer where I used to be anymore. Anybody moving forward? Anyone transferred out? That's good, man. I got it. That's going to be a new thing around here. That and dainties. Dainty stuck. Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but what? We're free from all sin. We're not held down by that anymore. We might mess up, but we get to ask for forgiveness. We are no longer bound by that penalty of death, of eternal damnation. That doesn't belong to us no more. Those who accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, that becomes a part of your identification. Set free from a sin guilt consciousness.
All right.
Worship team, you can come back. That was just a false sense of closure. I'm not closing. No. And for my second conclusion, I mean, I'm righteous. I'm the child of God. I am blessed. I have more than enough. The list goes on and on and on in Scripture showing us who we are. Our identification in Christ, and we can talk about this till the cows come home. If you're missing cows, hopefully they'll come home. But, I mean, who we are in Christ and us knowing who we are in Christ will totally, 100% affect your life. If you're only partially like, yeah, I'm a church, I'm a Christian, yay. Well, you're not really reaping the benefits. But if you get in there and you really start seeing, and I just gave you a few scriptures and I got more there, but for the sake of time, I'll leave you something to read. We can get in there. The Bible is full of information about who you are in Christ. What belongs to you. That you are blessed. You're healed. Prosperous. You're whole. All those things. Now the devil's going to try, and this is what he does, is he's a great deceiver, and Scripture tells us that. The devil's going to come in and be like, you know what, these things don't apply to you. Look what you've done. Look who you are. You're worthless, you're trash, you're garbage. It's no fun when you're hearing those things in your head. But let me tell you something. That still small voice on the inside of you, the one that's whispering, saying, you're blessed. Not the loud noise that's, you know, ah, you're trash. We don't listen to that. It's the small, still voice. We have the Spirit on the inside of us. And he's telling you, you're loved. You're precious. You're blessed. You're a king's kid. You're not a mistake. You have a purpose. Would everyone in this place stand up? Isn't the Lord good? Isn't it good to know who we are in Him? And like I said, we barely scratched the surface. But He's got more. Everyone say more. He's got stuff for me and you. And we need to make sure that we have a clear path between Him and us so that we can receive it, so we can reap the benefits, that we are engrafted in Christ. We are connected with Him. There are going to be things that's going to try and come in your way. There are going to be obstacles. Like I said, we live on an earth with a curse. It's just the way it is. You know? But greater is He that's in me. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. You need to see that. You need to know that. You need to have that alive, moving. Because let me tell you something. You have no idea the impact that you'll have on this planet. The Lord's got big plans, big purposes. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Big plans, right? The Lord's got some big plans.